worship. And my whole sermon is basically one sentence. So I'm going to tell you the one sentence and then just talk for a while and then repeat the sentence, I think, at the end. So, it's a pretty simple thought. Really, it was very shortly after he asked me to preach. God brought this thought to my mind, and I couldn't get away from it. So Matthew chapter 6. We'll read several verses there, but verse 24 is what we'll point out here, and then we'll pray. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. So we're stewardship, and stewardship is really, really easy when God's your master. You know, if God's in charge of your life, it's not a hard question. I'm going to give. It's when we're looking to mammon and the world is dragging us and attracting us, all of a sudden, it's hard to give. But if God's our master, where's the fight? He's in charge. We're listening to God. Should we pray and go home? So, don't say yes. So, let's do pray, and then we'll read the context and talk about several things. So, Lord, we ask that you would help us as we think about stewardship. Lord, money is needed. Our church has bills and real needs. And Lord, we ask that you would direct us to give. And Lord, help us not to fight. You're our master. And we need to fight the world creeping in and influencing our thinking and making it hard to give. Lord, we ask that you bless the service and Lord, bless our church. Lord, we think especially now in this stewardship time as we're making decisions about giving, Lord, that we would follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, I'd like to go back and read several verses here. This is not just to kill time, but I wanted to give the context a little bit and talk about several things in here. So let's jump back up to verse 19. And we'll read down through the end there. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in the darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the valleys, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So stewardship, who is your master? And really, the answer to that question determines whether we give properly or not. The first thing I like to do is look at some reasons why God should be our master. I don't think that most of you need to be convinced that he's the best to choose. But some reasons why, some things in this passage, and I'll mention a few that aren't directly in this passage, why we should make God our master. So first thing in my list here is that we are directly told to lay up treasures in heaven. And just lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. Lay them up in heaven. That comes by serving God, right? This world, it creeps in, and we've got to fight it out. We can't lay our treasures up on earth. The things on earth are going to rust, be stolen, be gone. Right? I have a garage full of tools. We used to park cars in there. But now the cars have a nice home in the driveway. Those tools someday are going to be junk. The things I make are going to be junk. She's not allowed to tell me if they're junk right now. Someday they'll be junk. All this stuff's going to... If that's my treasure, it's silly. It's vain. It's useless. So we're just bluntly told, lay your treasures up in heaven. We're told to seek the kingdom of God first. Down in verse 33. In the middle part there, right after no man can serve two masters, it goes on for a while explaining how God can take care of us better than we can ourselves. Talks about the grass and the lilies and different things and the birds. God can take care of us better than us. And that sometimes it's hard to let God do that. If you've been around a little kid that thought they knew what they should do, and you know you've got this giant prize for them, if they'll just listen to you and come over there and says, "Oh no, I want this little toy," right? God can take care of us if we'll let Him. God should be our master. Some other reasons: God created us. That should be enough. He created us. He loves us. We'll mention the contrast in a little bit. Think of the devil if he's our master. It's hate. We're listening to somebody that wants to destroy us. God really does love us. Right? Sometimes we don't understand what's going on, but he's doing it for our good. He loves us. He died to provide salvation for us. Right? And a little bit kind of repeat, he knows better than us. He knows better than us. God should be our master. We should follow him. Particularly here we're thinking about giving, but just in our whole life. God's in charge. Whatever he says, whatever we see in the Bible, okay, no problem. He's our master. So that was the first point. God should be our master. Second point I have is we need to frequently make sure that God is our master. Our flesh is weak. It loves sin. It's easy to love my tools. Sorry, honey. It's easy to love my tools. But I got to... No, those aren't important. If it's a choice between going visiting and working in my garage, it shouldn't be a choice. Well, of course I'm not going to be in my garage. I'm going to be out visiting because I'm listening to my master. We have to continually fight to make sure God's our master. A couple of verses... 1 Corinthians 9:27, towards the end, Paul's speaking, he says, "When I have preached to others, I myself shall be a castaway." Paul there worried that someday he was going to slip and no longer have God as his master. That verse is talking about running a race and a fight, that passage, which is a good description of the Christian life. It's a fight. It's a race. We've got to put forth that continual effort to make sure that God is our master, because if we don't, the default position is we slide right back to the world consuming us. Romans 7 talks about a fight in our flesh. Towards the end says, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." That fight between sin and our flesh and what God wants. It's a constant fight. As soon as we begin to slip, as soon as we're not alert, our flesh is going to start winning, and God will not be our master. Psalms chapter 1, it's one of my favorite passages. Verse 2 there talks about meditating in God's word day and night. It also talks about delighting in God's word. It's easy to read over that passage, but it's talking about the blessed person delights in God's word. Now, be honest with yourself. Does that describe your reaction to having your devotions this morning? And there's times it doesn't for me, but God says we're blessed when this is our delight. We're blessed when we meditate day and night. Pastor Mitchell alluded to that with the guys about having time in the Bible morning and evening. That's one way to keep that spiritual fire going. In fact, I thought of an illustration along that line. If we can imagine wintertime, not right now, wintertime, it's cold. You go outside, and if you're outside for a while, that cold begins to creep in. I mean, areas that you'd never think would be cold begin to get cold. And the world is like that. It's continually creeping in. And if we're not careful, all of a sudden we're going to be really cold. We've got to come back inside to the hot chocolate and the fire and warm up in God's Word. Right? We've got to be there long enough to get warm. Right? I've been outside in the cold, and I didn't feel cold until I came inside. And then all of a sudden my fingers are stiff, and I can't really pick anything up. And I was really, really cold. I didn't realize it until I got back into someplace warm. Right? And that should be God's Word. We should delight in it. We should meditate in it day and night. We should be there enough that it keeps us warm. It keeps us focused on God being our master rather than mammon and the world and the devil being our master. It focuses us on God. All right, I wrote down two lists here to think about. Which of these types of things would be harder to give up? If you had to. We all know the right answer, but be honest, which would be harder to give up? This list, things like Bible reading, prayer, visitation, witnessing, preparation for our ministries, those types of things, or the latest episode of a TV show, social media feed, a new tool, new gun, could be clothes or some house you want. If you're like me, there's times where my flesh is screaming about the new tool. And I got to fight it. I got to fight it. God is my master. He's in charge. All right, verse 21 in our text gives, to me, a useful measure to decide, or a test to decide where our treasures are. It says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The idea of heart there is the thing that you think about all the time, the thing that consumes your emotions. So where's your heart? That's where your treasures are. God says our treasure should be in heaven. And our flesh wants to treasure stuff right here on this earth. Not in the Bible, sorry. On this earth. That's what our flesh wants to treasure. And we've got to fight it. We are told it's going to be a fight. We've got to fight it. All right, so we need to continually be making sure that God is our master as we are in our Bibles daily, reading and in prayer, keeping ourselves warm and focused on God. Next one I have, a quick one, is we need faith to keep God as our master. There'll be times where you'll wonder. I mean, God just bluntly says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. There'll be times. God will lay on your heart to give a certain amount of money. And you don't see how it's going to work. He's your master. You give. It's an easy question if He's your master. But there's some faith that kicks in there that we need. And that same thing really applies to all the areas of our life. If He's our master, there'll be times where He wants us to step out. He's not going to show us the whole road. He wants us to step out. As Pastor Mitchell told the teachers, I just thought about this. Give God your what? And He'll bring the wow, is what He said the other day. All right, step out in faith, and God will bless. But it is going to require that stepping out in faith if we're going to keep God as our master. next point is we need to be careful not to think we can accommodate both. Right? We can't, I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to keep a little of the world. We're told we can't. It's one or the other. The passage we read says that. James 1 tells us a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. We can't. It's one or the other. Don't let yourself think, well, I'm not going to be fully committed either direction. No, God says one or the other. Being relying on both of those things makes us unstable. I thought of an example here. If you've ever climbed a ladder, or maybe this is just me, up onto a roof, to me the scariest part is when you're half in a ladder and half on the roof. Right? Once you get on the roof, I'm fine. Once you get back in a ladder, I'm fine. But in between, it's terrifying. Right? And if we're not careful as Christians, we live there. Half on a ladder, half on the roof. And God says we can't. One or the other. We've got to make sure God is our master. All right, next point. Mammon, or Satan, is a terrible master. Again, it may be obvious, but he is. It is. Stuff on this earth and Satan, terrible master. All right, at best, if we serve stuff on this earth, it's going to be vain and empty. At best. I heard, I think it was Tuesday, I've never heard of this guy, Julian Robertson, Tiger Management, started that. He's a billionaire investor, is the way it said, a billionaire hedge fund investor. He died at 90. It's over. At best, I mean, if he had a wonderful life, it's done. All right, so if we serve mammon, at best, it's going to be vain and empty. All right, Satan does not love us. He actually hates us. He is our enemy. Think of the foolishness of listening to our enemy. And I say foolishness, but we're there. We have flesh that likes to sin. But it's foolish when we listen to our enemy. He wants to leave us with sorrow and regret. Dr. Petrell talked to the teachers about not having regrets at the end of the school year. If we don't have God as our master, we're going to have a life of regret. Satan is going to leave us with broken lives and broken homes, disease and sickness and injury, financial problems, ruined marriages, lost children. The list goes on and on if he's our master. Terrible master. And Satan wants to drag everybody he can to hell for eternity. If we're saved, we'll go to heaven. But think about those around us. They're going to go to hell for eternity. If we listen to him as our master, we're contributing to them going to hell. Satan is a terrible master. All right, let me just mention a couple examples in the Bible of people that chose to not keep God as their master, and some that did, and it didn't go well for those that didn't keep God as their master. Think of Cain. God didn't accept his offering. He gets bitter and angry and murders his brother. If God was his master, he said, okay, God, how do I fix this? What do I do? What am I doing wrong? And he got mad, angry, and bitter, and murdered his brother. Think of Joseph. Think of all the problems in Joseph's life. Right? But he stayed focused on God. I'm not saying we're going to be second in the land if we stay focused on God. But he didn't die with those regrets like Cain did. To me, one of the scariest stories in the Bible is Achan. And there we know he stole at Jericho. Imagine fathers walking with your children to be executed. Right? That's a hideous thought. He let mammon be his master. Hideous thought. We can go to the New Testament, to the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and walked away sorrowful. Mammon was his God, not Satan. Or you think about the Apostle Paul, who stayed faithful to God. He mentioned being scared that he was going to fall, but he stayed faithful to the end. Did not have the regret at the end of his life. Let me mention one last illustration, and then we can wrap this up. Think of a basketball game, an exciting basketball game that's right at the end. I won't say anything about our boys. Right at the end, it's a close game. Everybody's cheering, and both sides are yelling and screaming, and just noise everywhere. The basketball player that's doing his job listens to one person, his coach. There might be 50 guys in the bleachers yelling at him, shoot, shoot, or drive, or whatever. But if he's the player he should be, all he's hearing is his coach. Think about this world. It is screaming and yelling at us. If we're the Christians we should be, that keep God as our master, there's one voice that we hear. We hear God and what he wants. And if he is our master, this idea of stewardship, it's an afterthought. Of course I'm going to give what God tells me. He's my master. That's the least complicated thing that I can do. So as we close, is God your master? If he is, ask him what he wants you to give and do it. If you got to be honest and say, you know what, there's some things in this world that are awful hard to give up. They got a hold of me. Get rid of them. Make God your master and then ask him what he wants you to give. This world's got nothing good for us. And the older I get, the more I realize that there's nothing good that this world has for us. It makes it look really good, but there's nothing there. It makes a terrible master. Is God your master? If he is, then give what he tells you. Let's pray.